Okay, welcome everybody to another weekly edition, well, semi-weekly edition of Podcorn.
And we're back!
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Logan.
And we'd like to apologize for being about a day late with this episode. Why were we late, Logan? I mean, explain it.
People, first of all, it's free. Stop complaining.
I know, seriously.
We're not dead. But why were we late, you ask? Well, because Ryan, I came down with the sniffles.
Yeah.
Which is not a sexually transmitted disease. It's really when I was like, man, I'm sick. And you were like, hey, Logan, how's the bacon? And you were sick, too.
How's the bacon?
I don't remember saying that. I was hallucinating.
Oh. So that was the sniffles, the good kind.
The good sniffles.
The good sniffles.
Oh, man, I had a blast.
Well, yeah, this weekend you were sick. And you were just enclosed in your little cocoon.
I'm tired a lot. The weekly strain
bruised
of this...
like a grape.
The weekly strain of this is bringing me down, man.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
But also, you know what else it was? Another reason why we were late? I didn't have the sniffles all week, as you can imagine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of the week, I got sick.
Yes.
And that's why we're still late. And also, I'm kind of still sick now, so if I...
I can hear it.
Have to... So if I have to, blow my nose during the podcast,
that's
I expect you to make up a song to cover the sound.
Should we do a test? Well, no, why don't I just blow my nose even louder?
Okay. Well, I have tissues right here.
But then you'll need to be louder to cover my nose blowing.
This sounds like an endless cycle. Well, that's the kind of cycle I like.
Possibly. Okay, the endless ones?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the other reason we relate, though, we didn't touch on this, and it's important to say this,
well, go
I
ahead.
Think. MTV Spring Break. We were there.
That's right.
Not really, but it was our spring break.
Kurt Loder was there, because this is MTV Spring Break 87.
Isn't it Kurt Loder?
No, probably.
Huh. Well, I don't know.
It
could have been Kurt Loder.
I don't watch MTV.
That's what I say when I watch MTV. Louder! But he never comes out. That's the worst joke I've ever made on the show.
That's MTV 2.
Is that even a joke?
Anyway.
So it was spring break and we were
sick.
Yeah. That's a bad spring break when you're sick, isn't it?
It is, but you know, I want to point out, we technically have not missed a week yet, because this counts for this
no.
week.
Yes.
You will get another episode this weekend.
That's right.
Which means that if you don't count it as this week, then you're actually getting two this week.
That's right.
Ho ho.
Ryan, you just showed them.
I think so.
I think we can go home now. Good show.
Well, before we do that, I want to talk to you about something real quick.
Oh man, another 20 minutes of this?
Yeah. We do claim occasionally to be a news source for movie and TV news and all that, right?
That was just you back in that one show, and I keep pointing out that we don't pay attention to that stuff. It rained today, okay?
We're not a weather source. It's movie weather.
Well, I know about movies.
Okay, we're going to get to
it.
Technically, this is TV, though. Can you bear with me?
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. This last week...
Have they made a movie off that?
Would you just let me do it?
The weather. Okay, yeah.
The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Isaac Hayes, who is, of course, a soul-singing legend. Everybody knows him as the composer of Shaft.
Yeah, he's one bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Oh.
Not to come back at all. Oh, bother.
I saw the abridged version of Shaft.
Let's get over there. Uh-huh. But also the voice of Chef from South Park.
Yes,
okay? Which
Chef.
I personally enjoy. I know you do.
You know I do.
I know you do. So, thank you for helping.
You know it.
He quit the show this last week.
How dare he?
Because of their episode attacking Scientology, which is his religion of choosing. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, I can't stand religious intolerance, which is silly because South Park has always made fun of religion.
Well, you know, after this, you and I were there when they actually aired this Scientology episode for the first time.
Yes.
And we saw that. And at the end, I remember they put up all the John Smith names or whatever at the very end.
Right.
So no one could call him out. At the time, we were just like, oh, that's a joke and everything. It's funny. But right after they aired that, it became like that. CNN ran a whole thing about how pissed off Scientologists were.
Yeah.
Who I believe are small nomads of some sort. Right. I'm not quite sure what a Scientologist is or does or furthers my well-being in any way.
They're Eskimos.
In fact, they're Eskimos? Okay. Well, why don't we just send them all off on icebergs then?
That's what we should do, basically.
That's what we should do? So what's happening here? So he's gotten mad at them for doing that?
He's gotten mad and he quit in a stupid thing, and they're like, all right, if you want to quit, whatever. They actually, I believe, had to release him from his contract. So he couldn't even just quit. They had to actually let him go, really.
So that's pretty bad when you're doing that.
Yeah.
I can adjust my mic really quick.
Go ahead. And but the big news shows up after the fact, because they were going to rerun the Scientology episode.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Tom Cruise, who you might recognize as a movie star.
Oh, do I?
And who is going
He's been in my favorites, like Hunt for the Red October.
Right.
And
Hunt for Red October 2. And, of course, Air Bud 3.
Air Bud 3, yes.
He's also in Mission Impossible 3, Logan.
That looks like it's going to rock. And the guy's like,
tell you.
And he's like, whoa, bump, bump. That's all I can play, because we'll get sued for the rest.
That's right. That was a real sound clip.
Yes.
It looks like it's going to be a lot better than Mission Impossible 2, I'll tell you that.
Oh, 10 times better. Only because John Woo's name isn't in the
Seriously.
Right.
But anyway, he has said, and of course, Viacom, the company Viacom, owns both Comedy Central and Paramount Pictures, yeah. Okay, as you well know. And he's basically said, listen, I'm not going to promote Mission Impossible 3 for Paramount Pictures unless Comedy Central stops airing the Scientology rerun, because of course he's a Scientologist himself. Right. Now, this is a completely craven, stupid thing to do, but because they want to promote this movie, it's working. Now, here's the thing that I think is a problem, Logan.
Okay.
And I'll let you talk. I'm sorry. The problem. The least effective strategy right now for any movie is to remind anyone that Tom Cruise is in it.
Yes.
Because he's been annoying the hell out of everybody for the last year, I'd say. So I think they should just pretend he isn't in it and air the South Park reruns.
Well, I agree. That's what I was about to say. Cruise has threatened that he won't promote any films. But if you saw any of the promotional stuff he did for War of the Worlds, you know, no one thought he was crazy before he went on that big promotional tour or whatever it was.
Yeah. That's like, I make crazy out with stuff girls!
Yeah, that whole thing popped up. He started attacking the Good Morning America guy. No.
Bill Kolbers is writing his next email
now.
Yeah,
that's right. Matt Lauer. You know, he got squirted in the face for that prank thing, and he completely went off on
the
guy.
Made fun of Brooke Shields for the pregnancy. The after... postpartum medication she was on.
And he went on Oprah and, like, jumped on chairs or jumped bones or something was crazy night. But the point is, don't, you know, even if Cruise is in your movie, don't advertise that anymore. Show him in the trailer. It's all good and everything. But
maybe
he
put
to,
his name up.
Maybe put his name up. But he doesn't have to, like, show up at my house and tell me why he's so great, you know?
Which last night was annoying because he never left. We were like, okay, Tom, it's getting late. It's 8 o'clock. I have
my
to
fault.
Do.
I kept baking the cookies. Look. And that's what breaks me. You know, that's breaks
me. You know
the
old saying about Tom Cruise.
Don't feed him cookies after midnight.
That's absolute correct saying.
Well, that's a South Park joke, pretty much there. But that's what we're okay. One, I can't get off this without saying this. Okay, the whole time you and I were South Park fans. Every time we watch it, we're like, man, this Isaac Hayes guy. He's obviously in on the joke. He knows what's going on with this show. He has to be just as funny as they are.
Funny
it turns out he's not. It turns out he was only in it for the paycheck every time. He just came in and read his lines. His original readings were probably not even good. He was probably, you know, there's nothing good about this guy anymore.
He's making up reasons not to like him.
The only thing left now is the Shaft theme. And he'll find some way to ruin that. I'm telling you right now.
It's just a guarantee.
Yeah.
But you know what I think the worst part about this is?
Okay, go ahead.
Is that I feel like Isaac Hayes might be a decent guy.
Uh-huh.
And Scientology has just pressured him to do this for political reasons.
Well, I think that's what it actually comes down to, is that. Because everyone involved with Scientology seems to act like, oh no, they're out to get me if I say something wrong. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Maybe that's why Tom Cruise is really crazy, because it's not Tom Cruise. The real Tom Cruise spoke out, and he's locked up. Did you ever think
what
about that?
What movie did that happen at? What's the divider between the new Tom Cruise and the old Tom Cruise?
Oh, good question, because he didn't used to seem crazy, you know?
No.
But now he's a nut job.
Jerry Maguire might have been the first crazy Tom Cruise movie. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I really never realized how crazy he was, though, until the whole War of the Worlds thing. Yeah, you know, that was a decent film, too. It wasn't a great film by any means, but...
But Dakota Fanning saves any movie, I'm sorry.
Well, she was, as I said right when I left the theater, she was a better actor in that film than Tom Cruise was.
She kept pace with De Niro in what was it? They did? Thank you.
Yeah.
Kept pace with him, and he was actually on his game in that movie, too. Okay, enough of that crap. But the story ends, well, it doesn't end, because it's still going on. But Matt and Trey took out Ad and Variety, which totally lampooned the whole thing and said that they were servants of Xenu, which is the bad guy in Scientology, I suppose. I guess it's like G.I. Joe. And basically said that they were going to continue to battle Scientology.
Well, that's exactly what you do. I mean, you keep saying it was a joke, and that's exactly what it was. And that's the best way to fight these things.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this several times before, but you can get so many... issues across through comedy that you couldn't get across by just coming out and saying what you're against and everything.
Yeah.
You can trick people out of the laugh and they'll be like, uh-oh, that means something. You can trick people into believing what you want them to believe through comedy.
It's true.
And it's true, yeah.
Which is why I bought every piece of South Park merchandise that they sell, because they brainwashed me to do so.
I bought them all back from you.
Yeah, that was a good deal, I thought.
It really was. I made off like a bandit.
Well, anyway, do we have some mail to look at today?
We do.
I'm just asking.
Go through that mailbag and find what we have.
Here we go.
This bag's getting bigger every week, Ryan.
Now, I'm going to blow my nose, so why don't you read a little bit of this mail?
Okay, wait, are we going with the I blow mine louder?
Sure, let's do
that.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, all right. Ready?
Uh-huh. Blow! Woo, Ryan, I just had the worst nose problem. You wouldn't believe it. That's nasty. Wipe that up.
I don't believe it.
Uh-huh. Dripping all over the mic like that. They're not paying for porn.
They could be.
Dearest Logan and Ryan.
Yes.
Good show again. I'm putting the link up. Wait, hold on. No, that's not... Huh. Where are we at now in this thing? Oh, yes.
This is from Bill Kohler's
Bill
editor Kohler's, of the Pulse.
Editor of the Pulse.
He's also our editor, apparently, but yeah. That's all right.
Well, no, we like Kohler's.
We do
He's
love
a great
Kohler's.
Guy. He still hasn't put the magazine or the Pulse box
Oh, yeah,
thing,
the box outside our place.
He still hasn't put it outside our place. I'm waiting. I'm camping out, actually, Kohler's, if you're listening. Bill Kohler's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I can tell you're anxious, Ryan.
I'm wrapped.
He writes, and I'll pretend like he addressed this to me, okay? Logan, Ang Lee directed...
I don't know when you're reading the email and when you're not, unless you do a different voice.
Oh. Well, I don't want to make fun of the guy. You know, this... Okay, my one voice, Kohler, so I'm not making fun of you. I'm sorry. Logan, Ang Lee directed The Ice Storm.
That's all I wanted.
Not Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis directed The Ice Harvest.
Esther... Bill Kohler's The Muppet is correct. No, we're not making fun of Kohler's. I just wanted to hear Logan's one voice.
Okay, that was my one voice.
I swear
I
did. Kohler's is totally
Or is this
correct.
My one voice?
Oh,
weird to do.
Your real
Tune
voice.
In next week to find out, folks.
No, you won't.
So he points out, I made the mistake last week, that Ang Lee directed The Ice Storm, not Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis directed The Ice Harvest, two completely different films. I said last week I hadn't seen The Ice Storm talking about the Harold Ramis film. Well, what I meant to say was I hadn't seen The Ice Harvest. I have seen The Ice Storm. I saw it recently, which is why I screwed up the titles of the two.
Right.
The Ice Storm, not a good film. I'm not trying to get off in the review of another film, but it's just a really bad film.
Well,
Ang Lee has yet to really give me something I can be proud of because he's related to me. Most people don't.
Right.
It's a last name. Most people just don't know that.
Yeah,
it's I'm actually Asian.
Logan Lee.
I had surgery a while back.
Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Lee.
Stanley's not.
Jim Lee.
Stanley, he keeps coming to the reunion, but you know that's not his real last name.
Really?
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
And Jason Lee, he's pretty cool. He surfs in. He does some gnarly tricks and everything. I'm like, way to be, Jason Lee. And that's I wrote a song all about it, Ryan.
Could you not sing it?
Well, okay, I won't sing it then. But yes, Ang Lee directed The Ice Storm, not Harold Ramis. Thank you, Kohler's. What else did Kohler's have to say? I think he was once again correcting me.
Was both of us. We royally screwed up the Hesses, the director and writer of
Those crazy
Napoleon
moments.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
Kohler's goes on to say, Jared Hess is the director you meant. Jerusha Hess is Jared's wife, which I did not know. Sorry about that, Hesses. And co-wrote Napoleon Dynamite. There is no Joshua Hess, which is what we said, that had anything to do with Napoleon Dynamite. Joshua Hess, I believe, works at a Kinko's in Duluth, which is true because I called Duluth.
And he was there?
I asked for Joshua Hess, and apparently he...
Was he like Joshua Hess?
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
And he actually passed on Napoleon Dynamite due to salary reasons, so that's why he was not involved.
That
but I was close.
Explains a lot about that film, actually.
I thought.
Well, to really address these two things...
Mm-hmm.
Bill, how dare you? Bill, how dare you? What we're saying, Bill, is good job, first of all. But, folks, this is what you're going to get. When you get a show that everyone said, Ryan, let's go back.
Okay.
About, you know, how many episodes have we done?
This is the 7th episode.
Let's go back 7 episodes.
Okay.
So they didn't even exist yet, right?
Let's go back 8. Why not?
8 episodes.
Yeah.
So now we need to go back and make another one just so this makes sense now.
Damn it.
We'll go back 7. We'll go back 7 episodes.
It's like 6.5.
And everyone's like, hey, listen, guys, you guys are funny. Why don't you get your own show together where it's just you talking? Because I'd listen if you just talked a lot. And that's what we're doing.
We knew that Jimmy Stewart guy.
We knew Jimmy, that's what we're doing. We're just talking now. And so when we... Yeah, even if you were talking to us like in an actual room,
right?
We wouldn't
four
get
walls,
yeah, four walls,
a ceiling,
maybe a door,
no floor.
If you're lucky, you would get the same stuff out of us. We'd
right.
screw everything up still, and that's we're pretending like that's part of the charm of the show, I guess.
It's true. It's just like being in a room and talking to us, and you know we do strive to get everything right, just like we do in everyday conversation.
Right.
We
but
will
only that much.
Only that much. And if we make a mistake, we'll talk about it the next show. I want to point out, though, think of the multiple references we made in that show. We probably made like a bajillion, like, let's be conservative, at least 100 references.
Uh-huh.
And we got 2
I think
wrong.
A bajillion was closer, actually,
okay.
Ryan.
I'm just saying it's a good track record. It's
and our
98%.
Bajillion, yeah, that's right. But, you know, if you're talking to us in a room, we're not going to run off and check the internet really quick. We're not going to be like, to the internet! And checking with our resources. I think screwing up is part of this. And people keep emailing us, though, because
Absolutely.
We enjoy that, yeah.
Bill, keep us on our toes so we don't, you know, get all lax and start saying things like, oh, Logan was in Mission Impossible 3.
Which I am going to be.
Which you are, actually.
Yes.
How is it working with Philip Hoffman Seaman?
Philip Hoffman Seaman, clean that up.
I'm sorry.
He will, you know, the guy walks into the room and he just sends off this magnificent laser beam. He shoots everyone really quick.
Wow.
That guy, he's a fast draw, Ryan. I'm like, hey, I'm... And I'm down.
I believe all of
Battle
that story.
Battle Damage, game over, man.
I believe 100% of that story.
Well, we're 15 minutes in the show, and we've yet to review anything so far, except my dying career.
which is over dying, right now, yes. And I'd appreciate it if you leave.
I'm 14 minutes and 59 seconds into my 15 minutes of fame.
We probably should talk about the movies we're going to talk about today. We should start doing these corrections at the end of the show, so we catch people's attention.
Well, yeah, because we go off too much on the people.
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Here's more people we hate. Uh-huh. Logan's mom.
My mom!
Logan's other mom.
I have two moms?
Logan's mom's mom. Okay, shut up. Logan.
Yes.
Seriously. Today, we're going to talk about a classic, well, not exactly a classic, but sort of a B, I guess, grade.
It's a cult favorite.
A
I
cult
found
favorite
out.
Set in 1970. It's fun to say that. 1970, a cult do you know the year at all? 1970.
No.
Okay. Horror film.
Listen, hey, let's mix.
Film.
Don't email us and say we're wrong. 1948.
Good point.
So let's see.
Bill Kohler is our safety
just
net.
Be casual.
Okay, good. Play it cool.
Yeah, play it cool.
Okay, it's a thriller. It's called When a Stranger Calls. And we're also going to be reviewing the remake, which just came out this year.
Yes. Well, you made it sound like it came out a year ago.
Well, right? It came out a couple weeks
ago. It came out, two or three weeks ago, right. Yeah, When a Stranger Calls.
Yes.
Is also the name of the...
Also the name of the remake.
Yes, okay. here we go.
Okay. Good night.
Yeah, that's all. Okay, so the original. What'd you think, Ryan?
Well, the original, here's the thing. Well, first of all, it's based on the old urban legend of the babysitter and the stranger, whatever that urban legend's called.
That doesn't just happen to babysitters. I want you to know that.
No.
I don't know who else it could possibly... Fireman, I don't know. But it happens to other people, Ryan.
The fire's coming from inside now.
I just had to get that out.
Would you let me do it?
Ryan, people who listen to this come from various backgrounds. We can't just all assume they're babysitters.
French-Canadian.
I don't know when you... Hey, I like that guy.
Okay, I love him too. I would
step out. Why don't you need to show him then?
Okay. We should not drink during the show. So here's the thing. Okay. When a Stranger Calls is based on the old myth of a babysitter who goes to watch these kids. She keeps getting phone calls. Have you checked the children? Have you checked the children? Finally she calls. Have you checked... You know, I can't... Okay. Have you checked the children?
Have you checked the children? It's Christian Bale's Batman voice.
No. Uh-huh. Swear to me. And so she's like, this is freaking me out, so I better call the old cops.
Yeah.
She calls the cops, and she's like, there's calls coming in about the children, whether I checked them. And the cop's like, well, you probably should check the children.
This
first
is
of
so
all.
Much better when you tell them.
Right.
Yeah,
first of all, you're a babysitter.
I'm
check
so
the
into
children.
This. Yeah, check the children.
But he says, well, we'll trace the call and see where it's coming from, and we'll take care of this right away. So next time the guy calls, he's like, I have to check the children. The cop,
not as good as the first two times. Sorry. Okay, go
the
ahead.
Cop calls back, and he's like, it's coming from inside the house. And she's like, what the? And it turns out the big twist of the myth is that the parents had a second line, and the killer's already in the house, and she just escapes in time, or in some versions of the myth, she doesn't escape, or children are already dead. Whatever.
Can we ruin some of this, though?
Go ahead.
Well, the children die.
Yes.
We're talking about the original
The
here,
original,
folks.
And the myth, and
now,
the original one.
Yes, what happens pretty much is that...
This happens in the first 20 minutes, though.
Yes, this guy is a serial killer, and he goes in there and he kills the children with his bare hands, so he keeps calling, telling her to check them, because he wants her to go up there and see if they're dead.
Right.
She's there, in the original, she's at the babysitting job for a total of 25 minutes?
About 22 that. Or 3, it'll be times
yeah.
it up.
That sounds so nerdy.
No, for a reason, we'll get to
Ryan
that
Ryan said his calculator watch, and we were off.
I started the DVD player with my remote watch.
So there it was, folks. That's go ahead, sorry.
Well, the whole thing about this is that the reason we're allowed to reveal that supposed twist is because it happens very early on in the film.
Like we said, yeah.
And we didn't really realize it sitting down to watch it. We thought that was going to be the most of the film, right? But after the 20 minutes, Jill, played by Carol Kane.
Uh-huh.
I'm just doing all my name fact-checking in my head to make sure Culver doesn't call us. Carol Kane from Taxi and from like Scrooge and all this stuff. Good actors. Is the babysitter, and she is she's getting these calls and whatnot and everything. Finally, she escapes just in time. The kids, however, of course, do not, and the murder is carted off away. The rest of the movie deals with 3 years later, I believe? Seven years later. Where that's
and
right.
You can check me on that.
Okay. Where she has kids of her own, and different circumstances happen in which the guy has actually come out, and we get to see broken out of the asylum he was in. We get to see him sort of try to be normal for a while, then he goes back to killing. It's a much cooler story, and at the whole time he's being trailed by Charles Durning, great actor, playing the detective, and that's a really interesting story. It becomes a mystery, essentially a suspense story, more so than just a gore flick.
I think what's important here is Charles Durning's clothes get tighter as the film goes along.
It was the 70s.
I can't explain that. But this is a...
I almost saw his evening shade. Like.
This is, despite what people may think, this is not a horror film. This is like a cat and mouse type story. It's It's a story, though, about the killer himself and right. what he goes through and where things end up with him. It's all about him, pretty much. Yeah. Things do get back to Carol Kane.
Right.
Make sure the name's right there. I'm scared now. Things do get back to Carol Kane. And it's a decent film. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
I gave it a 6, too. And I was expecting to give it a lower score because I thought it was going to be a throwaway movie. Yeah. I was actually really entertained the whole time.
Despite this entertaining nature of the film, that sounds like an Ebert statement. Despite
Amanda Bynes achieves perfection.
That's news next week. Okay, we'll talk about that. Despite how good, how entertaining we thought the film was, it did come across like a made-for-TV movie, though.
It did.
Movie.
It seemed like there was a lot of commercials places for
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah, there did. But it was a decent film. They made a sequel, When a Stranger Calls Back. We haven't seen that yet. But that's all I think I need to say about that film. Because
which we would have if it was more available.
We just can't find it. You can't Netflix that either.
Right.
But I think what we want to talk about more is the remake, because there's a lot to talk about here.
Can I quickly say something about interesting about Stranger Calls? We're talking about whether it was made really for a film or for TV or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay, go
originally
on.
Meant to be a sequel to Black Christmas.
To Black Christmas, yes. This kind of spoils the ending of Black Christmas. Should I say this?
Well, I guess not then. Sorry, I didn't mean to go down a road we can't go to. If you want to, you can. But, you know.
Okay, I won't touch on it then.
Okay.
But,
Rent Black Christmas.
Huh?
I'm telling them. Rent Black Christmas.
That's right. Rent Black Christmas. I actually saw Black Christmas. I did that during my Christmas movie marathon. I tried to rent every Christmas horror film I could find. There's not that many, besides the Silent Night, Deadly Night films. And after the second one, all those are kind of like, ugh.
Do you want to say it or shall I?
No. We'll cover those around Christmas time, because those are some classic films, right? Just the first and second. We didn't follow anything after that.
Garbage Day.
Garbage Day. But, Black Christmas is definitely the actual only good Christmas horror film that I read.
Right.
I gave it a 7 or 8 at the time. There's a remake coming out of it this Christmas.
I did not
know
that.
Yes. You guys need to run out and see this now. I'm glad I was on that whole train before it actually happened. Directed by Bob Clark, who later brought us which Christmas classic? Anybody out there know? Raise your hand. Oh, mine is up. A Christmas Story.
Yeah,
which is very odd to think about, because that's considered a classic Christmas film.
Right.
Although when you watch it, it's not that well made. It's kind of made like on a horror film budget if you watch it closely.
What, A Christmas Story?
Yeah, everything's badly lit in that film. Before that he did, of course, Porky's, which people have somehow managed to forget along the lines of like bad college films.
Remember Porky's 3? Where it's like, they literally had gray hair?
I remember Porky's 2 because, like, the next day. That was the name of that.
Yeah.
Porky's 2 the next... It was just like Porky's the next day later. Or whatever. Yeah, and the guy comes in and says, talk like this. He's like, what's going on with this guy?
It was a good night for him.
It was a very good night for him. Okay.
We're way off track.
Yeah, when a Stranger Calls, the remake.
The remake, however, and this is why we paid special attention to how much time the first part of the movie took up. The first in-house getting phone calls part.
Yes.
Because we were pretty well aware that the remake was just focusing on that. So they had to stretch that out for, I felt like 4 hours, actually, but for what I assume was 2 hours.
Yes.
My Lord, was it horrible. It was one of the worst movies, I wouldn't even call it a movie, it's one of the worst movies I've seen, easily the worst movie I've seen this year.
People, this is what you need to keep in mind. Okay, first of all, you need to see the original.
Right.
Don't go see this movie without seeing the original. I'm sure almost 90% of the audience was mostly teenagers, they had no clue there even was an original.
Right.
But, the thing that we need to stress here, which is what Ryan just said, is that it all takes place in the house. While we only had 20 minutes of that in the first film, they're really stretching this time. And you know what? The twist is in the trailer. We know the call's coming from inside.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about this, Ryan.
Well, they introduce characters that don't make any difference.
Well, the beginning, it opens kind of like the original did, where they're like, oh, you know, these kids died because the lady didn't go up and check on them. And there's a circus going on outside. No clue what this is about either. And so then it cuts to something which has nothing at all to do with any of that. They introduce all these characters in the, two or three characters in the opening, the whole opening sequence in about 5 minutes after that.
Her boyfriend, her best friend, her parents.
Well, no, I'm going before that, when they introduced the detective.
Oh,
yeah.
Thought
it was going to be Charles...
Durning.
Charles Durning in this film. But he's like, man, rough day. You know, we even get backstory that he's like trying to lose weight
this
and everything.
This is them investigating that part the original, we saw over the credits.
Yes.
That was, yeah.
And that just goes nowhere.
No,
they never come back to that. Yeah, he doesn't even show up later on when the cops show up,
right.
Which would be the time to bring him up. But yeah, go back to so they introduce all of our friends and
they introduce all these people who will make crazy, contrived, surprise guest appearances during the movie, but who will have no actual impact on the movie itself at all. They introduce characters that never show up. They're like, oh, we have a son. You're not going to see him. Don't worry about it. They have to make all these contrived reasons to update the story to give you a reason why she doesn't have a car or a phone. because now every teenager does.
Well, I mean, yeah. On top of that, though, they spend a lot of time trying to make up stuff for that.
Right.
But then when that stuff doesn't even matter, there's still big plot holes.
Right.
Like, they actually show Susan's caller ID on this phone, yet she never once checks to see where these calls are coming from.
Right, yeah.
We never see that, which is odd.
She has the number, it says unknown person, but she has the number.
Yeah.
She could do a lot with that. Like, give it to the cops, one reason.
They spend a lot of time telling us that she can run a mile in under 25 seconds.
Yeah. The whole opening is her in a track thing, and then that never plays in anything.
I don't mind ruining this, folks. I mean, they're just, they tell us that, and we're like, well, later on, she's going to set the watch and beat the 25 seconds. You know it. Yeah, I just know it. She runs, but for no apparent reason. Another thing. Okay, well, the first one was, the original was a movie about the killer. Once again, I don't care that I ruin anything here. By the time the killer does show up, there's 10 minutes in the movie left.
Yeah.
And then they give us what feels like 8-minute-long shot of the killer's face.
Yeah.
As he drives by, it's in slow motion and everything. And are we supposed to recognize this guy?
No.
Is he supposed to mean something to us?
Of all the stupid characters who meant nothing, he hasn't appeared until just now. And will only appear in the stupid so-called, not even a twist, so-called ending, where she has some weird dream.
Right.
That's all it is exactly to him. She's gone and crazy. He's like, I don't know what the hell they were even trying to apply.
And you know what? He's only after her, which is odd, because they set up, like we were talking about, the first 5 minutes there where we see some other thing, some other babysitting job, and the kids that she was babysitting have died, because he's like, did you check the children? And, you know, they're dead up there. But he's not even, the killer that we get later on in this film that's actually in the house with her doesn't care about the children. There's a point where he actually lets them get away. He pretty much opens the door and lets them run out, then closes it to trap her.
Yeah, he sits up in the rafters of the kids' room for part of the movie. And doesn't touch them at all.
Yeah, really.
Why? Just so we can have our ending where the children are safe? I mean, come on. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. On top of all that craziness, is this movie would be more accurately titled Logan.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to actually write to whoever made this movie. I forget what studio.
Yes, go ahead.
And they will retitle this because of this genius. not When a Stranger Calls.
But okay. That's not a great title.
No, not When a Stranger Calls.
I know, that's not a great title.
No, it's not a great title. But instead, when several people you know call, and then hours later, a stranger finally calls.
Yes, that's exactly what happens, pretty much. And every now and then, it's funny because everyone who calls her in this film can't speak for the first, 10 seconds they're on the phone.
Right.
They can only go, like, there's a scary guy.
I might be the stranger.
And then when she goes, hello, like, oh, hey, Becky, you know what I mean? Which is the way I talk to most girls, but I mean,
right, but you're like that.
That's different, there's different.
And you are also a murderer.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, we're not raising a lot of these questions here, but when we left this film, we had way more questions. Most of the times when you leave a movie, you have a lot of questions. You want them to answer that, but I didn't want to answer. I don't want, because I knew there'd be another 2 minutes or 2 hours. Sorry,
I was happy
minutes.
To get out of that movie alive.
So was I.
Conscious.
It's a terrible, terrible film.
Yeah. See, someone's gonna take that clip and twist it the way, it was so scary. Film critic Ryan DeGeorge says, I was happy to get out of that movie alive. But
just an exclamation mark on the end of it. Right. That's how those things work. Yeah.
Exclamation mark. But yes, it was very obvious that they took what they had to work with from the first movie, almost word for word. It's literally scenes were word for word.
Yeah.
They kept all the same names, which is fine, but
they even made some references to the first film too. And by the time, the classic line, did you check the children, was in there one time. And that was an hour and a half already into the movie.
Yeah.
And then she's like, maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
That's the only time it really crossed her mind. Yeah. To do that.
The great thing, which was not in the original, which they made this a big suspenseful moment, but we just laughed out loud at it, I think, is when, I think it's actually the second time, so it might be in the more than once, but he's like, have you checked the children? And finally she's like, I am the babysitter. It's not a bad idea. He makes a point.
Yeah.
She goes upstairs, we have the dramatic reveal of opening the door, and then the children are fine. She's like, oh, that's all right. Walks back downstairs, the phone rings again, how were the children?
Yeah, no. No, really, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm paying you good money for this.
It was dumb.
It was dumb. Another thing, and this hasn't been done since the 50s, I don't think, Ryan.
Yeah.
A cat was used to scare the audience at least 3 times, I think we count it, in this movie.
Now, how many is the correct number in a modern movie of cat scares?
Okay. Well, one time, but even that's too much.
I was saying zero, yeah.
Zero is what you really... If you want to make a good horror film, you don't even do that. Yeah. Don't even set the... You know, they even set that up, too, now I think about it. But it's funny, because they set up 8 other people that were living in the house, too. They're like, no, you'll be alone babysitting. I don't know why I really hired you, though, because there's 4 other people who live in the house.
Now, don't worry, we need you to babysit, because you're going to be all alone. Except for our housekeeper, Rosa, who's upstairs. And also, we have a son who we're not really even sure if he's in the guest house across the way. Mm-hmm. And plus, we know 40 more people are going to show up.
That's
also,
right.
If your friends want to come over and drink, that's cool, too.
And, you know, there's a huge alarm system, but if they get past it, it's okay.
The best part is the first, in the first, like, 40 billion minutes,
yes.
The alarm goes off. It's like, wah,
alarm actually
wah.
Goes off.
And I'm like, oh, no, he's in the house. Uh-huh. And she goes over, and she's like, oh, what do I do about this? Oh, yeah, I remember the code. Unarms the alarm. She's like, that solves everything.
Yeah, that solves everything. I
because
just
clearly the alarm,
off,
the alarm wasn't tripped by anything in particular. Gets a call from the alarm people, and she's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's
don't
okay.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
You know, does Rosa not babysit kids? Is that not in her job description?
She doesn't do that. Rosa, she, I mean, she's a Rolling Stone, Logan.
She
can't
feeds
be tied
the birds,
down
apparently.
To these kids. There's
and
a whole...
And the cat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they have a garden full of birds or something?
I don't know.
Know.
It's all just a giant...
Cat scare.
To have stupid crap scare her when it really isn't the thing you want to see scare her. Because the thing you want to see scare her only takes up 20 minutes and we have to take up 90.
That's right. I don't know how this movie made any money at all. It did really well, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to make a pseudo sequel, meaning not related to
it. I hope
it,
they do then, call yeah. it. Have we revealed what the.
Yeah, when a stranger calls back.
That's the best sequel title in the world.
Whatever. That's it, Ryan. I'm done.
You know, the third one was called When a Stranger Leaves a Message.
For love of God, please stop calling strangers.
That's also one. When a stranger changes his number, I don't know.
When a stranger faxes you?
Yeah, exactly. When a stranger emails you.
Orders pizza in your name?
Let's just stop it, because I took us down that road, now I regret it.
I'm done!
All right, well, listen, kids. If you want to know anything more about this, why don't you drop us an email at lazybear@lazybearproductions.com.
But we don't want to talk about this anymore. We got to move on, Ryan.
All right, tell us a few things.
Writers... skies and green oceans ahead.
I'm not sure that's technically accurate, but
they're dirty.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. And also, hey, Logan, we know about movies because we make them, babe. All right, listen.
Right? What'd you call it?
That's Hollywood talk.
Oh, well, yeah, honey buns, I make them too.
How dare you, sir? So see our movies at lazybearproductions.com.
Yeah.
That's
and then make podcasts about how bad or good they
are. Make podcasts about how bad our podcasts are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bill Kolrus, we love you.
We do.
We're just kidding around.
Well, you know, we're mean sometimes, and we mean most of it, but in the end, everyone goes home with a little slime on their face.
What?
I don't know.
What's that on your face?
It's slime.
Oh, my God.
It's part of my tribe.
Is it? Tribe?
I go out now
that
on Fridays.
That makes no sense. And yet, I'm making a movie about it. All right, well, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Logan.
And we'll see you next week.
Have you checked the children? Sorry.
They've checked the children.
Okay.